Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. You probably already know the Patriots season is over and it ended horribly.
Brady's pass is intercepted and returned for a touchdown by Logan Ryan, the former Patriots. He didn't drop it this time. No, he didn't. Gets a second.
It's that last "he didn't drop it this time" that just kind of really sticks it in. The 20-13 loss to the Tennessee Titans puts Tom Brady somewhere he's not used to being this time of year, which is on the couch. He's watching. And with his contract ending in March, we all have a lot of time to think about whether he's going to come back, he's going to retire, or, God forbid, play somewhere else. So let's talk with some people who are more in the know than your average football fan. We have two of Boston's best, Boston Globe NFL reporter Ben Volen and WBUR Sports and Society reporter Shira Springer. Ben and Shira, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for having me today.
All right, and listeners, pull up a chair. I want to know, are you in mourning? What do you think of the season and how are you feeling in the aftermath today? 1-800-423-8255.
It's going to be like a therapy session.
I know, that's right. Let us help you. Ben and Shira are here for you. Give us a call. 1-800-423-TALK. So, Shira, did you see this loss coming?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, there was a lot of talk. I mean, we know they didn't come into the playoffs on a winning note. They lost to the Miami Dolphins in the last game of the regular season.
Yes.
Still, there was a lot of that talk. You know, they're going to flip the switch. You know, they'll turn this around. They'll get into playoff mode. But there were also a lot of signs that maybe this was not their year. And that was borne out on Saturday night.
So, Ben, you had some notes right after the game on Saturday night. Put it in perspective, how bad a loss was this?
In a vacuum, the loss itself was tough. No one expects them to lose at home in the playoffs. I don't care how poorly the season was going for them, especially to a team like the Tennessee Titans. It just, you know, hearing that sentence in my head just doesn't sound right. Brady losing at home to the Titans.
Did it sound any better than Brady losing at home to the Dolphins?
No, that was equally
good
shocking.
Question.
Equally
yes.
Shocking. So it clearly wasn't their season. But, it wasn't their season from the start, even though they started 8-0. It didn't look right. And Tom Brady was, you know, very just mopey and frustrated all season long. And I think at one point he said, "I'm the most miserable, 10-1 quarterback on the planet." And you could tell it just wasn't going right. And, it's an appropriate loss for them because they weren't one of the NFL's better teams this year.
1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Pull up a chair. What do you think is going to happen next for the Patriots now? Is it time to move on for the Pats, heaven forbid? What do you think? Give us a call. So, Shira, that interception, is it likely?
Is it Brady's last pass as a Patriot?
How did you know I was going to?
Because that is what everybody is talking about. That is, been the prevailing theme with this team, with this season, in fact, is this Brady's last season with the Patriots? And the fact of the matter is, we just don't know. And honestly, I'm not even sure Tom Brady really knows what his future holds. I mean, he did say at his post-game press conference, "That's the future, and I'm not into predicting the future." I think he's got a lot of thinking to do, a lot to process, and there's going to be lots of offers out there. He's an unrestricted free agent for the first time in his career. He's probably going to get somewhere or want to get somewhere between and probably should get somewhere between $25 and $35 million a year. He wants to play until he's 45. So, got to put all in the balance. I'm sure Kraft will try to persuade him to come back. But there are a lot of other circumstances out there. And also, one thing I was thinking about was, we have this sort of desire to see somebody play their entire career, sort of old-fashioned, old-timey desire to see a player play their entire career with one team. There's sort of some certain nobility about that, right? But then I thought, well, Brady's idol growing up was Joe Montana.
I was just thinking about Joe Montana.
And what did Joe Montana do? He had a terrific Hall of Fame career with the San Francisco 49ers. And his last 2 years, he played for Kansas City. So, as much as we'd like to think that, maybe Brady feels this strong sense of loyalty or wants to stay in New England, there's that idol factor, I'll call it. I-D-O-L.
I-D-O-L, not I-D-L-E.
Yes.
Although for the next couple weeks, IDLE.
Correct.
1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to join the conversation. Sean's on the line from Worcester. What do you want to say to Ben and Shira?
All right. So first of all, Tom Brady needs to go retire the Patriots. He's already took him enough places. he needs to play in Florida for the Dolphins.
That's where you want to see him, Sean?
Yeah, he'll get the fish out of the sewers.
All right. So let's turn that to Ben. What's your reaction to the idea of the Pats playing for the Dolphins, for Brady playing for the Dolphins, or where else might he play?
Yeah, I don't know about the Dolphins. That might be a tough one just because then that would be the Patriots' rival. And, you know, in the same division, he would play the Patriots twice, including once up here in Foxborough. I think, you know, of all the cities, I'm sure his family and Giselle would like to play in Miami. But the teams that I think are at the top of most people's list, if Brady were to play somewhere else, one is the L.A. Chargers. Brady, I think, would enjoy California again, where he's from. The Chargers are entering this brand new stadium next year, 65,000 seats. They have a lot of tickets they need to sell. They have very little fan base out there in Los Angeles right now, so Brady could be a big draw for them, help them. And the other team in a similar vein would be the Raiders, who are moving to Las Vegas. They could use kind of a big draw as well as they open up their new stadium and their new city.
I heard a little speculation about the Titans as well. Any chance he'd go there and play under Mike Vrabel?
Well, the speculation is because of Vrabel, and there are a lot of Patriots connections there, but they've had a great season with their quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, and I think they're looking to lock him up long-term. There aren't too many teams looking for a 43-year-old quarterback next year. That's, you know, Tom Brady's age is definitely going to work against him. So I think you're seeing a little bit of a game of chicken right now where the Patriots are saying, okay, well, we have a certain value on you, and if you want to go out and find other teams, well, you know, maybe you can go explore that. And Brady's saying, if you don't pay me, I might leave. And so there is a little bit of a game of chicken right now, but there all it takes is one or two teams, and I think there will be one or two teams who would willingly and want to take on Tom Brady.
So he's soft-pedaling that a little bit publicly. Here's some of what he said on Saturday night.
I love the Patriots. I mean, they obviously they got a – it's the greatest organization, and, you know, playing for Mr. Kraft all these years and for Coach Belichick, I mean, there's nobody who's had a better career, I would say, than me.
So that's him after the game Saturday night. Shira, I'm sort of talking like he's already gone. But,
you know,
is
it's funny.
He going?
I was going to say, you're talking like he's already gone. I think one of the things that struck me in the locker room after the game on Saturday night was I felt that some of his teammates, while they may not know anything about his, you know, where he might end up or what he might do, were very reflective about his career and what it meant to play with him, sort of the experience of a lifetime. So they were in some ways almost talking as if he might not be back either. So your question, is he already gone? I mean, is it a foregone conclusion? It's hard to really read the tea leaves with what he's saying and with what Kraft is saying. I honestly don't think he knows yet. I think he has got some serious processing of options to do.
1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to join the conversation. Is this a blip in the dynasty? Is this the end of the dynasty? What are you looking for next from the New England Patriots? And how long can the sort of reign of Belichick continue? We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call. So I have to ask some painful questions now, Ben. If Tom Brady does leave, for example, who is then the quarterback of the New England Patriots?
Sure, that's the million-dollar question. And the Patriots, I don't think they've really done a good job of developing Brady's successor. They tried doing that. Bill Belichick wanted to move on to Jimmy Garoppolo a few years ago and unfortunately got overruled by Robert Kraft.
So we know that is basically what happened.
Yeah, the owner made it clear that Tom Brady's not going anywhere, and so they ended up trading Jimmy Garoppolo for 10 cents on the dollar, just not a good use of the assets there. They have a rookie. His name's Jarrett Stidham, a fourth-round pick. I'm not totally convinced that he's the guy that you necessarily want to hand the keys to the organization over to. He might end up eventually being a decent quarterback, but rarely played this year. Did throw an interception in one of his few passes.
Ouch.
They're probably going to have to either, or maybe even do both of these things, draft a kid in the first few rounds this year, another quarterback that you want to develop, but then also probably have to either sign or trade for, you know, a mid-level veteran quarterback. They call him like a bridge quarterback.
What does that mean, bridge quarterback?
Someone who can bridge you from this era of Tom Brady to the next era. And this guy that you sign next probably won't be a franchise quarterback for the next 10 years, but he can keep you competitive and keep you afloat until you do identify the next guy. And, you know, there are a guy like Cam Newton for the Panthers might become available, or Andy Dalton from the Cincinnati Bengals, or Derek Carr from the Raiders. So there are a few veteran-type guys that I think the Patriots might want to target.
Sure, you look like there's something on your mind.
Well, no, I was just saying, Ben brings up Cam Newton, and I'm thinking, you know, yeah, there are guys that are going to be available, but, you know, one of the concerns with Cam Newton is his injury history. So, any quarterback, that's of a certain level that you say, ooh, that sounds like a desirable name, and Cam Newton is one of those names, you're also going to assume some risk. Teams are just not getting rid of high caliber quarterbacks. And also what struck me is, just the Jimmy Garoppolo, we're now going to be watching him potentially play in the Super Bowl for the 49ers. And that's, kind of adds a little bit of insult to injury with the Patriots situation at this point. And, one of the other places, I don't know, have you heard, one of the rumors as part of the speculation about where Brady could end up was, the Indianapolis Colts, which would be interesting because they have another former Patriots backup in Jacoby Brissett starting for them now, and they're not entirely pleased. So it's like this revolving door of quarterbacks, and I think it'll be interesting where Brady ends up and who the Patriots could get, because it's not going to necessarily be top of the line.
Right. With Brady, I think there are a lot of teams that make sense from a football perspective, and the Colts are certainly one, but I don't think Tom Brady's leaving here to go play in Indiana. I think it would have to be a flashier city like Los Angeles.
So geography matters.
I think big time, yeah. I don't think he's going to the Midwest or somewhere where his family probably wouldn't want to be. So I would think, Miami, Vegas, L.A., that's more like
you're thinking warm climb.
You don't think Giselle is an Indianapolis kind of girl?
Unless I'm reading the tea leaves wrong, no, I'm not expecting her to be a big Indianapolis fan.
Let's take one more call. I think Paul is on the line from Waltham. What do you want to talk to our panelists about, Paul?
Hi. Wanted to ask a question, just speculatively. Do you think Bill Belichick and Nick Caserio failed to provide good weapons for Tom Brady this season because Belichick really wanted to ease him out and move on?
Interesting.
What do you guys think? Conspiracy theorists come out.
I do think that the lack of talent around Tom Brady did account for his drop-off in a lot of his stats. I mean, he had one of his worst seasons this year, but I don't think it was necessarily all him. They did not help him out at wide receiver, tight end. They had some injuries at the offensive line. I do think in the spring they did not do a good enough job of adding more players. They came in second or third place for several receivers, but weren't able to seal the deal with any of them. They tried to get good value, and none of those free agents bit. And then it put them in a situation where during the season they were kind of desperate. They went out and signed Antonio Brown because they didn't have any weapons. They went out and traded a second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu. That didn't work out for them. So they didn't do enough in the spring, and that made them desperate in the fall. And none of it, really worked out. So I do think that they did not put the best talent around Tom Brady this year.
So in our last couple of minutes,
I was going to say, but not a conspiracy theory, not something that was designed to, force Brady out in any way. I mean, I would think Bill Belichick cares too much about winning to do something, like that, to cut off his nose despite his face kind of thing.
Yeah, and you've heard, too, that, the Patriots lost the game to the Titans on purpose because Bill wants to get rid. No, none of those conspiracy theories are true. Bill Belichick definitely tried to win this year, and I think the evidence is him trying with Antonio Brown and Mohamed Sanu and some of these desperation moves.
So I didn't want to start something.
No, fair enough. That's fair enough. I do want to stay with Belichick for a minute, and I want to talk about Mike Vrabel, right, in this couple of minutes where he used three penalties in a row to chew a lot off the clock, a la his former coach, right, in a previous game against the Jets this season. There's a lot out there, Shira, about this idea that Bill Belichick is now falling victim to his own coaching tree, that he's developed enough other people who are in the NFL now that he's not so tricksy as he used to be. What do you think of that?
I don't know if it's not so tricksy. I mean, it's just a couple of things are happening. One, I think there was this sort of air of invincibility, this mystique about the Patriots, and sort of teams generally would make mistakes against the Patriots that they might not ordinarily have made because they were the Patriots. And then coupled with that, I think that as that air of invincibility, as that mystique has diminished a little bit, people are saying, hey, why can't we do this? Why can't we be smarter about the trick plays or about the strategies that we're using? I mean, there's no reason you can't do what Bill does if it wins games. I mean, it seems very logical. So, part of it's a coaching tree, but part of it's just like, hey, He's winning. He's dominating. Why not, you
Let's
know, copycat?
That. Yeah.
And All right. Just to add to that real quick, Belichick is only 15-13 in his career against his former proteges. So it certainly is tougher playing the coaches that you know well.
Well, there you have it. That's Boston Globe NFL reporter Ben Volen. Ben, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
WBUR Sports and Society reporter Shira Springer. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. And that is our show for today. Radio Boston is produced by Jamie Bologna, Zoe Mitchell, Chris Siderick, Paris Alston, and Walter Wuthman. Tim Skog is our technical director. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Tiziana Deering. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.